Okay, so welcome to the deep dive. You know, one of the things that's always fascinated me, and I think a lot of our listeners too, is this whole question of, Jesus coming back and what he said about when it would happen. And, there's been a ton of debate about it over the centuries. And I know it's something you've looked into quite a bit. And you sent me this really interesting lecture by Dr. Dave Matthewson. And it really gets into the idea that there might be a delay or, that maybe there was some misunderstanding about, the timeline or something. And I thought it'd be really great to kind of dig into that with you today and see what we can uncover.
Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. I think, a lot of people, when they hear about the second coming of Christ, they think it's going to happen, like that. But the scriptures also talk about a delay. And so I think that's what's so fascinating about Dr. Matthewson's lecture.
So, like, what did Jesus actually teach? I mean, because you read the Gospels, and there's all this talk about the kingdom of God and coming back, and it's like, did he think it was going to happen right away, or what's the deal? So, what's our mission today? Like, what are we trying to figure out here?
Yeah, I think our mission today is to try to understand what Jesus himself actually said, in the Gospels about when he might return, and also to look at this idea, that maybe his early followers were expecting something that didn't immediately happen, and why that might be. And I think to do that, we need to go to the source material itself, the Gospels, and see what they actually say and how they might have been understood.
That's a great plan. So let's dive in. Like, where do we even begin with this? Like, it's such a massive topic,
I think a good place to start would be with Jesus's early ministry, when he first started preaching. And, if you look in the Gospels like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he makes these really powerful statements about the kingdom of God, being near or at hand.
You read that and you're like, whoa, okay, something big is about to happen.
Yeah, exactly. It creates this sense of imminence, like something's going to happen any minute now. But what's really interesting is that Dr. Matthewson suggests that Jesus wasn't necessarily giving a countdown to the end of the world right then and there.
Oh, so it's not like he was saying, okay, in 3 days, this is gonna all go down.
Right, exactly. Instead, he argues that this nearness, that Jesus talks about, signifies the inauguration of the kingdom.
So, like, the beginning,
To begin out.
not the end. Okay, I'm with you.
So think of it as the kingdom of God breaking into our world, through Jesus's life, his death and his coming back to life. So it wasn't about the final chapter immediately, but it was about the beginning of a new era.
Okay, so not like the final buzzer, but more like the kickoff of the game or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So for those of you listening, maybe those early statements that Jesus made weren't a misfire on timing or anything, but rather they were an announcement that God's reign was becoming a present reality
Through Jesus.
through Jesus. Exactly. So it was something that was starting to happen in the here and now.
Wow, that really reframes it because, when you just read those verses in isolation, you're like, okay, well, here we are 2,000 years later, and it didn't happen like that. So what gives? But now I see what you're saying. It's like, okay, this is the start of something big, not the end.
And Dr. Matthewson, emphasizes this two-stage arrival of the kingdom.
Oh, okay. So there's like phase one,
There's phase
and
one.
then there's phase two.
And phase one started with Jesus and continues even now, and then there's the future complete unfolding of the kingdom at the second coming.
Okay. So it's like it's already begun, but it hasn't fully arrived yet. Yeah, it's super interesting.
So those early pronouncements weren't about a return that didn't happen right away, but they were about a kingdom that was and is actively breaking into the world.
Oh, wow. That's a huge shift in perspective.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so let's dig into some more specific verses here, 'cause I know there are some that people often point to that seem to maybe contradict this idea of a delay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the ones that kind of stand out?
Well, there's one in Matthew 16:28, and there are similar accounts in Mark and Luke where Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Yeah, I've heard that one before. And that's one where, people are like, "Well, hold on, all the disciples died. So what's he talking about there?"
And I think naturally when you read that verse, you think of like this grand second coming, Jesus returning in all his glory. And since all the original disciples, since passed away, it could look like a prediction that didn't quite pan out.
Yeah, it's kind of like, maybe he got that one wrong. So how does Dr. Matthewson address this one?
Well, he guides us through several other ways to understand this verse.
Okay, I'm all ears.
One possibility is that it points to Jesus' resurrection and exaltation.
Okay, his resurrection.
Yeah. So the idea here connecting to Psalms 2 and 110.
Okay.
And how they're discussed in Acts 2 and Ephesians 1 is that through his resurrection and ascension,
right,
Jesus entered into his rule as the Messiah.
So it's like he became king at that point.
Right.
Even though he wasn't, you know, ruling in the way that people might have expected at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was the start of his kingdom in a real sense.
Okay. I can see how that would fit with the kingdom language.
Yeah.
But even if that's the case, the tricky part for me is that some standing here bit. Because surely more than just a few disciples saw Jesus after the resurrection, right?
Yeah, he does acknowledge that challenge, that it's not a perfect fit, you know? And so he explores another avenue for you to understand this verse.
Okay.
And that is the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is described in Acts chapter 2.
Right.
And the subsequent spread of the gospel that happened after that.
Yeah.
And the link here is that Peter...
Right, one of the disciples.
Yeah, one of the disciples quotes Joel 2.
Okay.
Which is a prophecy about the coming day of the Lord and the establishment of God's reign. So the argument is that the disciples did see the kingdom come in power.
Right.
Through the Spirit's arrival.
Right.
And through the gospel's impact.
I mean, that definitely changed the world. So
it did.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But again, that some standing here, it still feels very specific.
It does. Yeah. It's a bit of a sticking point with that interpretation.
Oh, right.
Dr. Mathewson also mentions the view that this might refer to Jesus is coming in judgment on Jerusalem in 70 AD.
Oh, okay.
And
the Romans destroyed the temple.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And while he doesn't find it the strongest fit for this particular verse,
right,
it is an interpretation that comes up.
Right.
You know, when we look at other sayings about Jesus' return.
Okay, so we'll keep that in mind as we go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's a broader understanding that this encompasses the ongoing work of the Spirit.
Right.
The spread of the gospel. And the continuous establishment of God's kingdom in the world.
Okay, so it's not like a one-time event.
Right, it's more of an ongoing process.
Yeah.
So it's a more symbolic or ongoing sense of coming.
Right, okay. I can see how people would interpret it that way as well.
Yeah.
But so out of all of these options, does Dr. Mathewson have a favor or one that he thinks is the most likely?
Well, he does. He has a preferred interpretation.
Okay, let's hear it.
And it's quite compelling when you look at what immediately follows in the Gospels.
Mm.
And that is that this saying refers to the Transfiguration.
Oh, the Transfiguration.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Now I'll refresh my memory here. What was the Transfiguration again?
So the Transfiguration is when Jesus was transformed on the mountain.
Right. Yeah.
And Peter, James, and John were with him.
Right. Yeah, yeah. With him and like his appearance changed and it was all glorious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was bathed in this incredible light.
Right.
And Moses and Elijah showed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, now I remember.
Yeah, so it was a very significant event.
Huge. Yeah. Okay, so how does that connect to what we were just talking about?
Well, what's fascinating is that in all three Gospels, where this saying appears,
right,
you know, some standing here,
yeah,
the very next event that they describe
is the Transfiguration.
Is the Transfiguration.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's like right there in the text.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, and so Dr. Mathewson, you know, he highlights that this event, the Transfiguration,
right,
it echoes Old Testament descriptions of God's glory,
right,
and the coming of his kingdom,
right,
particularly from Daniel 7,
okay,
which speaks of the Son of Man coming in glory to receive his kingdom.
Okay, so there's a lot of Old Testament imagery going on there.
There is, yeah.
That
yeah.
points to this being, you know, a significant event. That's really interesting. So it's like they got a sneak peek.
They did. They got a sneak peek.
Of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom.
And it's just those three.
Right. And it was just those three.
Which fits perfectly with the sum standing here.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so for our listeners, just to kind of recap this interpretation a little bit.
Yeah.
It's saying that verse, Matthew 16.28,
right,
isn't talking about like a far off second coming.
Right.
But it's talking about this event, the Transfiguration,
yeah,
that those disciples experienced.
Yeah. A powerful personal encounter.
Right. And so they actually did see Jesus coming in his kingdom.
Yeah. In a sense.
It just wasn't the full final, you know.
Right. It was a preview.
A preview. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That's super insightful.
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting way to understand that verse.
And the fact that it's right there in the context, you know, in the Gospels.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does. Yeah.
Okay. So we've tackled one tricky verse.
Yeah.
Are there others that we should look at?
Yeah, absolutely. There's another one in Matthew 10.23.
Okay.
And this one is during the commissioning of the 12 disciples.
Right. So he's sending them out.
He's sending them out.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jesus says, truly, I tell you, you will not have gone through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes.
Okay. So for you listening, this one sounds pretty direct, right?
It does.
Like he's saying, okay, I'm going to be back before you even finish this trip.
Right.
And that definitely didn't happen.
Yeah. And as Dr. Mattison points out, you know, the theologian Albert Schweitzer,
sure.
He famously saw this as a clear example of a failed prediction
right.
regarding the second coming.
Like he's saying, okay, Jesus thought it was going to happen right away and it didn't.
Right. And that's kind of the crux of his whole argument.
Right.
But again, there are other ways to interpret this verse
Dr.
Mattison explores.
Yeah.
One perspective suggests that it refers to Jesus' resurrection.
Okay.
So the idea is that the disciples' initial focus was primarily on Israel. But after the resurrection, their mission expanded.
To the Gentiles, to everyone.
To everyone, right? To all nations.
Yeah.
And we see that in the Great Commission.
Right, at the very end of Matthew.
At the end of Matthew. Yeah.
Yeah.
So before the Son of Man comes.
Right.
Could mark that shift.
That shift in their focus.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that.
But as Dr. Mattison notes, the way it's phrased isn't the most obvious way.
Right. It's not like he says, I will have risen.
Exactly.
Before you finish or something.
Right. So it's a bit of a stretch.
Okay.
He also mentions the judgment on Jerusalem in 70 AD
right.
as another possible fulfillment.
Okay, yeah.
Which aligns with some of the broader interpretations we've already discussed.
Right. But Dr. Mattison has a preferred understanding of this verse.
He does, yeah.
And this is key for you listening, so pay attention.
And that is that this verse actually refers to the ongoing mission to Israel.
Okay.
That will continue until the second coming.
Oh, so it's not about a deadline.
Right.
It's about a mission.
It's about a mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a mission that's going to continue.
Until the very end?
Until the very end.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's not saying, I'll be back before you finish this first trip.
Right.
But he's saying this mission to the people of Israel
right.
is going to be important until I return.
It's going to be important. It's going to be ongoing.
Right.
And it's something that they need to be continually engaged in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a totally different way of looking at that verse.
It is. Yeah. And it kind of changes the whole meaning of it.
Yeah, it does. It does.
So it's less about predicting when he'll return during mm-hmm. their ministry and more about offering encouragement.
Right. Like, keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And emphasizing the urgency
right.
and the enduring nature of this mission to Israel.
Right.
Yeah. In light of his future coming.
Okay. That's great. So we've looked at a couple of verses now that yeah. people often bring up that seem to maybe indicate, you know, a very quick return.
Right.
And we've seen how there are other ways of understanding those that fit with this idea of a delay.
Right.
So I'm guessing there's probably one more that we need to talk about that's kind of the big one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the Olivet Discourse.
The Olivet Discourse.
Yeah, which is found in Matthew 24 and 25.
Okay, so for those who aren't familiar, give us the rundown here. Like, what is the Olivet Discourse?
Yeah, so this is where the disciples come to Jesus and they directly ask him
okay.
about the destruction of the temple.
Right, because that was a big deal.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also ask him about the signs of his coming and the end of the age.
Right. So it's like, okay, when is this all going to go down?
Exactly.
And what should we be looking for?
What should we be looking for?
Okay. So there's a lot to unpack here.
A lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Dr. Mattison highlights that the disciples actually pose a two-part question.
Oh, okay. So two separate questions.
Two separate questions.
Okay.
The first one is, when will the temple be destroyed?
Okay.
And the second one is, what will be the sign of your coming? And the end of the age.
Right. Okay. Two different things.
Two different things.
Gotcha.
And he believes that Jesus addresses both of these questions.
Okay.
Now, there are different ways to interpret Matthew 24.
Right. Of course.
Some people see it all as referring to the events of 70 AD.
Right.
When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem.
Right.
Others see it all as future events.
Right.
Leading up to the final return.
Right.
And some, like Dr. Mattison, see a blend of the two.
Okay, so like a both and kind of thing.
A both and kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he suggests that verses 4 through 22,
okay.
which include the fall of Jerusalem,
right.
describe the characteristics of the entire church age leading up to the second coming.
Okay.
While verses 29 through 31
okay.
specifically detail the events of the second coming itself.
Okay, so it's like he's zooming in on that specific event
yeah.
in those verses.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's like a near-term fulfillment,
right.
and then there's this far-off future fulfillment as well.
Exactly.
Okay, and he sees both of those in Matthew 24.
Yeah.
Okay, now within Matthew 24, there's one verse that is super famous.
Yes.
And often causes a lot of confusion.
A lot of debate.
Yeah, and that's Matthew 24.34.
Yeah.
So tell us what that verse says and why it's so tricky.
Okay, so Matthew 24.34 says, "Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have taken place."
Okay, so when you read that, you're thinking, all right, this generation.
Yeah.
Meaning the people alive when Jesus said this.
Right.
They're going to see all this stuff happen.
Exactly.
And it seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Like he's giving a deadline almost.
Yeah.
But then the question is, what does he mean by all these things?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. Because if all these things means like the cosmic, you know, shaking of the heavens and, you know, the Son of Man returning in glory.
Yeah.
Then obviously that generation passed away.
Right.
It didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
So then what's the deal? Like, how do we make sense of that?
So, yeah, if all these things refers to verses 29 through 31,
right,
which describe those dramatic events of the second coming,
right,
then, yeah, it does look like a prediction that didn't come true.
Right, within that time frame.
Yeah.
So what's Dr. Mathewson's take on this?
Well, he offers a really compelling alternative interpretation.
Okay. Laid on me.
And he argues that all these things, and verse 34 actually refers back to all these things that are mentioned in verse 33.
Oh, okay. So he's saying look back a verse.
Look back a verse.
Okay.
Let's see what that says.
Yeah.
So if you look at verse 33, it says, when you see all these things, you know that he is near right at the door.
Okay. So now the question is, what are these things that they're supposed to see?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Dr. Mathewson connects it back to the events that are described earlier in verses 4 through 22. Would include things like
the wars and rumors of war.
Yeah, wars, the rumors of wars, the famines, the earthquakes.
Right.
And yes, the destruction of Jerusalem. So it's a very specific set of events
right.
that Jesus is saying
right.
will happen.
And that generation will see.
And that generation will see.
And historically they did.
They did.
You know, the temple was destroyed within a few decades.
It was, yeah.
So they saw all those things happen.
They did.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
It does, yeah.
Because it's not saying that they're going to see Jesus coming back in glory.
Right.
It's saying they're going to see all these signs that point to his eventual return.
His eventual return, yeah.
Okay, so then what does that right at the door bit mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think when verse 23 says, when you see all these things, you know that he is near right at the door.
Right.
It implies that these events are signs that indicate the imminence of his return.
So he's close.
He's close.
But not necessarily like right there.
Right. Yeah. So it's like you see the signs.
Right.
And, you know, okay, it's getting close.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right. This second.
Right. This second.
Okay. So it's like a signpost.
Yeah. It's like a signpost.
Not the destination.
Not the destination.
Okay. That's helpful because then it's not like, oh, he's right there. You got to be ready, you know, this very second. It's like, okay, these things are happening. So be prepared.
Be prepared.
But it's not like a, you know, 5-minute warning.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So for those of you listening, it's about recognizing the signs.
Right.
Not necessarily about trying to calculate the exact hour of his return.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about pinpointing the date.
No.
It's about being aware of the times.
Yeah, being aware of the times.
What we're living in.
Yeah.
Okay. That clarifies a lot.
Yeah. And I think Dr. Mathewson is really keen to emphasize that throughout this entire Olivet discourse,
right,
Jesus isn't trying to give a detailed prophetic timeline
right.
so that people can pinpoint the exact moment of his return.
Right. Yeah, it's not like a, you know, Nostradamus kind of thing.
No, exactly.
Where he's giving you all these specific dates and details.
Right.
Instead, his primary concern is to stress the constant need for vigilance
right.
and responsible living.
Right.
Given that he could return at any time.
So be ready.
Be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, he even includes warnings about right. being deceived by false signs and claims.
Right. Like, don't be fooled by people saying they know exactly when it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows the day or the hour.
Yeah. Okay. So vigilance, but also discernment.
Yeah, discernment, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that leads us to the parables
right.
that are at the end of Matthew 24 and the beginning of Matthew 25.
Yeah, these are some of my favorites.
Yeah, they're great.
They're so vivid.
Yeah. And they really seem to move away from specific predictions.
Right.
And focus more on how we should live in light of his eventual return.
Right. So less about when and more about how.
More about how.
Yeah.
Okay.
So give us a quick rundown of what these parables are and what they teach us. Yeah, well, one of them is the parable of the watchful servant.
Right, yeah.
And this parable highlights a servant who assumes that his master will be delayed.
Oh, okay. So he's like, oh, he's going to be gone a while.
Right.
I can relax.
Yeah, I can take it easy.
Yeah.
And he acts irresponsibly.
Right. He's not doing his job.
He's not doing his job.
Yeah.
And then the master returns unexpectedly.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Busted.
Yeah. So the core message is clear.
Right.
The danger lies in assuming a long delay and becoming complacent.
Right.
So the problem isn't the delay itself.
Okay.
The problem is the servant's lack of preparedness for a potentially earlier than expected return.
Wow. So it's like you can't just assume that it's going to be a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You always got to be ready.
You've always got to be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a powerful reminder for all of us.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. And what about the other parable?
So the other parable is the parable of the 10 maidens.
The 10 maidens. Okay. Yeah.
And this one focuses on the delay of the bridegroom.
Right.
So he's supposed to come for the wedding.
Right.
And he's delayed.
Right.
And the wise maidens prepare for a longer wait.
Right. They bring extra oil for their lamps.
We bring extra oil. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're prepared.
Yeah.
But the foolish maidens don't.
Right. They're like, oh, it'll be fine. You know, he'll be here any minute.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they get caught off guard.
When he finally shows up.
When he finally shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't have enough oil.
Right.
And they miss the wedding.
Oh, that's tragic.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here the issue is the delay being longer than they anticipated.
Right.
And the consequence of not being adequately prepared.
Right. They weren't ready for a longer wait.
They weren't ready for a longer wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these two parables together, they seem to be addressing both possibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be sooner than we think.
Right.
Or there could be a longer wait. But either way, we need to be prepared.
Yeah, be ready for anything.
Be ready for anything. And I think Dr. Matthewson points out that the consistent thread running through both of these parables is the absolute necessity for constant preparedness and vigilance.
Regardless of the timing.
Regardless of the timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we need to be ready.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that we can't use these verses in the Gospels to say that Jesus got it wrong about the timing.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, because there are other ways of understanding those verses that fit with what we know historically fit with this idea of a delay.
Right.
And so the focus shifts away from trying to predict the date and towards living faithfully in the present.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really great takeaway.
And I think what's interesting about Dr. Matthewson's lecture is that he's not trying to prove or disprove anything.
Right. He's just trying to help us understand. He's trying to help us understand
these verses better.
The scriptures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he does a really great job of that.
I think so, too.
So for our listeners out there, you know, what would you say is the main takeaway from all of this?
Well, I think the main takeaway is that Jesus's sayings about his coming, when understood in their context and through these various interpretations that we've talked about, don't necessarily represent failed predictions.
Okay. So it's not like, oh, he messed up on the timeline.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And the emphasis shifts from a literal immediate return that was expected by Jesus to the reality of an inaugurated kingdom.
Right. Which is already here.
Which is already here.
But not yet fully manifested.
Not yet fully manifested. Yep.
Yeah.
And multiple valid interpretations of phrases like coming in his kingdom.
Right. We saw that.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ultimately a powerful and consistent call to vigilance.
Yeah.
Responsible living. And being constantly ready for Christ's return.
Right.
Whenever it may happen.
Whenever it may happen. Yeah. So it's not about figuring.